together. Come on. Put them together. Attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your craft. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Under the sound of my voice, give God a great hallelujah shout, hallelujah, glory to his name. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to all our listeners, all our partners all over this world. We thank you once again for getting up this morning, starting your day with our ABM family in the presence of the Lord. We're all on one accord. As I always say, it does not matter where you're at or in this world. Just know right now we are on one accord in the presence of the Lord. And what a better place to be. What a better place to be. This says something where you make a sacrifice every morning, Monday through Friday, and on Sundays to come in his presence. It's a bold statement. It's a statement letting God know that you are my first priority. Letting God know that I want more of you. Letting him know I need your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. I need your power, your Holy Ghost power, to just consume all of me, so that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every word that comes up against me shall be condemned. Letting me realize that I am more than a conqueror. And letting me realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a way to start the day. And I am just so grateful that you choose us, that you choose to come and sit in at our executive meetings where we eat the bread, we receive the daily manna from God, the bread of life. We drink the living waters where we thirst no more. And we can come just as we are. And God is going to meet us just where we're at. And the beauty of it is, you don't have to be in a church congregation. You don't have to be inside a building to just be able to tell God, I'm ready to surrender all. So I'm just grateful and thankful that you continue to come into a place that's receiving you, a place that can feed you, a place that can help you in your times of trouble, in your times of need, in your times of comfort. Just know that ABM loves you, but we do realize that God loves you most. So good morning, Minister Chiquita. Will you bring us in prayer?
Good morning, Evangeline. And good morning, friends. Thank you for tuning in with us on this wonderful Wednesday. We thank you for coming in and placing your spirit of communion with us as we fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself over us. We thank you, God, in your spirit way today as well. Thank you, God, for coming here, God, and communing with us, oh God, so we can love on you, God, and seek your face, God, and be in the presence of you, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you, God, for your ever-loving presence, God, being in our life, oh God. Every minute, every second, every day, oh God, every hour, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you for the strength, oh God. We thank you for the power that you've given us today, oh God, to move forward, oh God, with the plans that you have for our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for the strength, oh God. We thank you, God, for the love you are instilling in us, oh God. We thank you for the peace, oh God, the joy, God, that you gave us, oh God, that the world cannot take it away, oh God. continue, God, to be joyful in the spirit, oh God, in our mind, God, and in our heart, oh God, so we can do the things of you, oh God, righteously, oh God, pure heart, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. Thank you, God, for providing the things that you provide for us, oh God, for material things, God, the physical things, the spiritual things, oh God, that you see every day, every second, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you, God, for the mind that you're turning, God, the heart that you're changing, and the body, God, that you are healing, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you for, God, the revelation that we're teaching, God, for our own life, oh God. We thank you, God, for us walking into our own anointing, oh God. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing right now, oh God, that you're walking us into a best place forever, oh God. We thank you, God, for this. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing for men and women across the world, oh God. We're connected to you, oh God. You're connected to the powers that are doing the most highest thing that they can ever do, God. We move all in our life, God, and break them through obstacles that you're meant for them to come through, oh God. Victoriously, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. Let the people know, God. We let them know, God, that you are doing miraculous things, oh God. If we let go of us, God, and set aside our stuff, oh God, and let you do your job, oh God. We thank you, God, for doing these things, oh God, and giving me the revelation, Lord, oh God, that you are my all, God. You are my cure, my cure. We thank you, God, for this. And forevermore, God, I shall praise your name, God. I lay myself down, God. I love you. Forevermore, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. We just this year, give God just a moment of silent meditation just to reverence him, because he is our everything. He is the very breath that we breathe. And sometimes we just get so busy, so consumed that we forget that. We forget that. And I just want to say this morning that I am just so grateful that I am here this morning, because I could have not been here, but God decided that today is another day that you shall be amongst the living, and you shall continue to move forth and do what is needed, what is instructed, what he needs for me to do. And I'm just thankful for that. Last night, for those that was on, we thank you for joining in. I just have to say that, I mean, God, with the Holy Spirit, was just so powerful on last night. And I tell you this, it is nothing that I could possibly touch. It is so great to know when people, men and women of God, place themselves in a position, a posture of submission. And when they put themselves in a place of submission, they're willing to do the will of God and allow God to use them to the point of transparency, saying the different things, telling their testimonies. And in their testimonies, they not worrying about what other people are saying or what they thinking, but only for one reason, to bring you, to save you, to let you know that it is okay for you to be in one place, but knowing that if you trust in God, if you're believing in him, if you're allowing him to abide in you, that situation that you started in, that will not be the situation that you left in, that you will end in, that God will continue to just move you and promote you and keep you going and moving. And that's where that perseverance come in, just moving by God's spirit. And that just touched me, and it encouraged me. It encouraged me, the words that were being said last night. It encouraged me. And so if you were on the line, something, and there had to be something, because God was hitting so many different areas last night, that and everything came right together, that it should have touched you. And one of the words that was said was something that one of the things that Apostle Temple said was, and certain key words came out, and he said, remind. He said sometimes we have to go back and remind, and he just talked about so many different things. And so when we got off last night and I got ready to go into my own personal Bible study myself, the Holy Spirit, I was led into the book of Nehemiah. And in chapter 9 of Nehemiah, there's a section where Ezra recounted the mighty miracles God had performed in Israel's past as a way of encouraging the people to believe him for their present. And it reminded me, yes, now it took me back to how Apostle Temple went over the different things he had went through, walking no holes and just his poverty mindset at one time, but he never forgot to acknowledge God. He acknowledged God in everything that he was saying. He acknowledged that no matter what I was going through, he knew where his help came from. And in chapter 9 of Nehemiah, I got the same understanding where Ezra had to go back and remind or recount and let the people of Israel know what God had done for them, done for the Israelites during their time when they were in the wilderness. And I was like saying, God, you're just so profound, because some people like myself, I don't just like surface stuff. I like deep stuff. I like to hear testimonies. And when those testimonies come out, I love to see where there's a parallel where God has done a work. And when he took me back into that, the scripture that stuck out to me, and I came from, in case you all want to know, Nehemiah 9, and I started at verse 5. And I only went up to 20. But in verse 20 reminded the Israelites how faithfulness God was faithful to the Israelites. Let me slow down. That he fed them manna daily. He fed them. See, we, based on the testimony that Apostle Temple gave last night, which I'm praying and asking God to allow it to go into a book form, because it was so powerful that I feel like the world need to hear it. I feel like it could be a bestseller. It made a burning come inside my stomach. It ain't about me, but I just gotta share this. It was just so profound. The transparency was just like, okay, you know what? I no longer belong to myself. Let me break it down to what I heard. I no longer belong to myself. I belong to God. So whatever I went through in the past, God was my deliverer. He's the person that brought me out. It didn't matter what I had to go through. I never left him. Once I decided to follow him, once I decided to draw nearer to him, once I gave him the invitation to abide in me, whatever I had to go through, whatever things I had to do, I realized that he was my provider. He was my sustainer. And I just felt that was, and it is, it's not was, it's very powerful. And a lot of us get into a place where we're too ashamed to talk about where God brought us from. And a lot of us get into the place like the Israelites, no matter what we've been through, there's always going to be somebody that's hard-necked, that's stiff-necked. They're not going to recognize the gifts, the power being that God, where God has delivered them. And I say all that to say is that when during in Exodus 16, 15 through 25, during the time that God provided manna for the Israelites every day, he gave them instructions, explicit instructions to gather the manna early each morning, only what they needed for that specific day. And so what God was teaching, in my opinion, what God was teaching them was that they had to live by faith. And that's what I heard last night in the testimony. And what I'm talking about today, I will keep paralleling it to the testimony because I asked God to show me where I can understand, where I can receive, and where I'm in a place where I'm ready to apply certain things. And I just, like I said, I felt it was so profound. So God was teaching the Israelites that they were to live by faith, believing that everything that they needed, whatever they needed each day, he would supply it. The only time that was an exception was on the Sabbath. In my reading, I realized on the day before the Sabbath, he would tell them to gather twice as much what they needed to, so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath, that they would just have a day of rest. But as I stated, it's a great lesson. We may sit and feel like that we can put all our eggs in a basket at one time. We can sit and take our life situations and our futuristic things and put it in a basket and try to just grab everything in one day and then sit there and try to plan it out. But see, that's not how God does it. If you listen to the testimony last night, it went from walking to riding a bike. It went from, you know, it was just so many different levels that went on in that testimony last night. And God was there the entire time. It was the endurance. It was the perseverance. It was the believing. It was the trusting that God was going to get me out of my situation, that God is my sustainer, that God is my healer, that God is my everything. And this is what God wanted the Israelites to understand. He wanted them to realize that I supply your every need. I supply your every need. I'm the one that parted the Red Sea for you. I'm the one that told Moses to strike a rock and water came out. I'm the one that feeds you every single day. I'm the one that does these things. So no matter what your circumstances is, what your situation is, if you trusting, if you believing, and if you receive and understand who I am in your life, these things can happen to you as well. One thing I can sit and say, his provision of grace. This is where I'm trying to go. I'm a little bit emotional, and I know my apostle always let me know I cannot be emotional. But like I said, it was just such a powerful that it just knocked me off my feet. And the provision of grace does not work that way, where we put everything in a basket, where we put everything and say that this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to do this today. This is how we're going to do that today. Because grace comes one day at a time. Grace comes one day at a time. God's grace, and I went a little bit before myself, it's like the manna. It's like the manna. And it cannot be stored up because it doesn't take trust to live, because it does take trust to live that way. When we start fretting about what we're going to do tomorrow, then it becomes a problem. We get into a situation of worryation. But if you listen to the testimony, what was going to take place tomorrow didn't matter. All I know is that I was going to keep going on, because all I know is that God touched me. All I know is God saved me. All I know is that when I say save me, I'm not talking about the salvation of saving. I mean saving the person's life because of the type of environment that they were in, the type of environment, the type of activities that they were in. He knew exactly what his plans, what if he went this place, what was going to take place. If he went this place, what was going to take place. But see, God decided that I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring you out of there. He gave him a portion of grace on that day that he saved him. He brought a portion of grace into the situation. It wasn't something that he thought was even getting ready to take place. All he knows is what I'm going to do for you. And he was, when he realized that it was God, it was like, okay, I surrender all. And that's where you and I need to be. We need to understand that God gives us new mercy. His grace comes in on a daily basis. We cannot sit and worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is not here yet. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we do know if we're in the will of God, if we're in the alignment of God, we do know that that you should be in a place where you shall prosper. You should be in a place where you should succeed. You should be in a place that whatever took place on yesterday, on today, you have a new beginning. If it did not work yesterday, you have a hope, a belief that it shall work today. Whatever blessings that you miracle, whatever it is, whatever you was looking for on yesterday, even though it did not manifest, even though it did not come forth, it still has an opportunity to do today, because you changed from who you used to be, and you're now receiving what God has for you. You're in a place, even if you don't know, but you're in a place to sit and say on today, Father, whatever it is, I'm prepared, because I'm no longer that old person. I'm a new creature in Christ now. So I'm prepared, and I'm not just a new creature in Christ. I'm depending on you, Father God. I need your manna. I need you daily. I need you to feed me daily, whatever it is that you need to be fed. And when I'm talking about being fed, I'm not just talking about the food. I'm talking about instruction. I'm talking about correction. Whatever it is that God sees forth for you to need. And this, and that was so profound about the testimony, because I don't know. He didn't know what was going to happen day by day, and he didn't sit and he didn't worry about it. All he knew was that God had arrested him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. God had arrested him. He had arrested him to abide in him, to trust in him, to believe in him. So once that took place, and nothing else, nothing would stop him from getting to where he needed to be in the presence of the Lord. Nothing would stop him. If I had to walk, I was getting there. It didn't matter that I had toes in my shoes. I was getting there. I was hungry. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I know it was just not me that was touched about that testimony last night. I know that somebody can understand that sometimes we have to go back and we have to recount the little things, and sometimes they may be major. Those were life-changing situations. The average person, let's talk about Evangelist Nita, that me, I probably would have been through. I would have thrown in the towel and said, listen, God, the God that I have heard about, because obviously from what I know now, I did not know him. But back then, I would have threw in the towel and said, no, the God that I heard about would have never allowed me to have to go through those trials and tribulations. But the beauty of it is he was learning to trust God. A relationship was being formed. And the Israelites, they never gave God an opportunity to show them exactly who he was. They complained day in and day out. It didn't matter that he fed them daily. It didn't matter when they were thirsty, he provided water for them. It did not matter that he brought them from the enemy that was treating them mental cruelty, physical abuse, verbal abuse. It did not matter. But when we get into a place that we realize that we have to depend on God every single day of our lives, we have to, it is good for you to make futuristic plans. But the only thing I'm telling you is, in them futuristic plans, don't leave our Father out of it. Don't leave our Daddy out of it. Let him know that I need you to be my, to help me to be my thought process. Don't let him know that I can't walk another inch without you walking with me or for me. I cannot breathe and take another breath if you don't breathe for me. See, it is so important, and that's what took place in the testimony. I'm telling y'all what I got out of it. I don't know where you got out of it, but see, one thing about me, I'm always asking God, let me understand. Let me get what it is that you want, that you're saying on this time. Don't let it go over my head, because it went over my head so many times. I want to be in a quiet place. I want to be steadfast, immovable, and not get into a place where things, where I miss the mark. Yeah, that's what I'm, where I miss the mark. Because, see, I want to be in a blessed place, too. I want to be in a blessed place all the time. And I realize that I have to have God's mercy and his grace to do so. I have to be fed by him every single day. I have to receive the daily manna that he has for me. Whether, as I said, it's a rod of correction, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's I'm just going to give you a hug and because job is well done, whether it's well, you aborted your assignment, you failed your assignment, I need you to get up, dust yourself off, and get it right. But I need that. I need that because I realize that without it, I'm not going to move forward. I can sit and fool myself and think that I'm moving forward. In all reality, I'm at the same place. I'm at the same place because when I open my eyes, I'm seeing the same thing. When I open my ears, I'm hearing the same thing over and over and over again. And that's not where I want to be. I want God to feed me. I want God to, whatever it is that I have to go through, I'm telling him I'm ready to go through it. I'm ready to go through it. So I just wanted you all to know how important it is to sometimes go back, as Ezra did in Nehemiah, and recount the things, the blessings, the places that God, you know without a doubt that God has brought you from. And you recount them, and you still, as you're recounting them, you still be in a place to let him know, yes, Father, you may have done that for them back then, but I'm here now, and I need you to do the same thing. I want to give a testimony where I can recount the things and tell somebody how you've been good to me. Tell somebody how you brought me out of whatever words that come out of my mouth, Father God, and I tell somebody, I decree it and declare it. I want it to manifest. And I'll tell you this, if that's what you truly want, and if you moved everything else out of the side and you realize that God is calling you, you realize whatever your calling may be. I know we were taught at ADM, you might just be called to be a greeter, to tell people to have a good day. You may be called to be the person to go and make sure that the bathrooms are clean, the hospitality is there. You may be, but guess what? That's where God needs you to be at that time until you get into a place where you allow him to promote you, because promotion comes from God. And with that being said, I am so thankful and grateful for the testimony that came forth, because one thing it brought me out of, I don't have to worry about shame. I don't have to worry about shame because God accepts us just where we're at, and he will continue to feed us and move us and keep us going. So that is what I needed to say, and I'm going to move out of the way and let the man of God, Apostle Temple, come in and do what he do. Good morning, Apostle.
Hey, good morning, Evangelist. God bless all of you all. Amen. I'm talking about, wow, what a great turnout this morning, because, you know, I see all of you. My goodness, amen. I know without a shadow of doubt that the word of God and the different things that God was really revealing, it moves many of you. You know something, this is something that where saints of God, you really have to understand. To understand the Bible, you have to understand life. And you got to understand how life began to transition, how life began to take place. Because what you are reading in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, you are reading about life. You are reading about life. You are reading about history. You are reading about stories of creations and the walk of God and different things like that. You are reading about different men and women of God, their story, their life, you know, things that happen in their culture, you know, their journey, you know, particular tribe. But you got to understand, there's many more, millions more people that was on this earth at that time, you know, but we are reading and getting a glimpse by other people's lives, amen, and other people's stories that, you know, it was led in the Bible, how God led by the leading of the Holy Ghost, things was put in the Bible for you could have a blueprint and have something that you could begin to read and begin to understand and begin to cherish God in your heart. Understand this, in the book, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the information that you have now. They didn't have a book. They didn't have different things to let them to get to know God like the material that we have today. All they had is experience. And this is the main key to the Bible, and this is the main key to the Word of God. So many people is fascinated in trying to rememorize the story. Well, which is nothing wrong with that. We're so fascinated in trying to rememorize the scripture. Well, it's nothing wrong with that, amen, especially if you're a minister, pastor, teacher, different things like that. You know, you want to, you know, have some type of remembrance for you to be able to relate to in your commentary, in your context, in your deliverance. But at the end of the day, what we're remembering and what we're quoting and remembering somebody else's life and somebody else's walk. We quoting and remembering what God done told somebody else or somebody else's relationship, regardless if it was Paul, regardless if it was Isaac, regardless if it was Nehemiah, regardless if it was Moses, regardless if it was Jonathan, regardless if it was Joshua, regardless if it was Jacob, regardless if it was Abraham before he was Abraham, regardless if it was anybody of these men of God, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, regardless if it was them individuals, you're reading about different stories, different incidents that transpire in different individuals' life, amen? Regardless if it was Job, amen? You're reading about different things and different walls that transpire. See, many people try to bring somebody else's story into their life. Try to use that as leverage of power, leverage of encouragement. Let me tell you something. When I tell somebody that God doesn't have no excuses, and it's no excuses, and I can bring reference to scripture, but I don't scriptures to bring reference, I could tell you about the testimonies of my life. God didn't have no excuses. God wouldn't put up with my excuses when I was sleeping on a bench. He didn't put up with my excuses that I couldn't make it to church where I say I love my pastor, I love my congregation. He didn't put up with my excuses and say, son, you don't got a ride? Well, you can't come to church right now. Your car. I had to walk. He nailed all the excuses to the cross before I even started a ministry, started thinking about a ministry, started thinking about anything. And I just thank God that he nailed everything to the cross, because when I look around in my life right now and see where he brought me from, that is not a cliche, y'all. Let me tell you something. That's not a cliche. That is not something that I'm just talking about. It's called for real. When I say I look back in my life where I come from, I'm not talking about what they don't testify. I'm not talking about what somebody don't say. I'm talking about from a young man by the age of 19, 20 years old that called by God, didn't know nothing about God, didn't know nothing about the calling. I didn't turn to the streets. I didn't turn to drugs. I didn't turn to alcohol. I just stayed with him, walking. My God, I'm out of homeless. Family, my God, having issues. Many of them don't turn their back on me. In the wilderness all by myself. God still didn't put up with none of my excuses. God still didn't put up, I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that because, God, I don't have this. I'm in a bad place. He didn't put up with my self-pity. Oh, God, it's in me. Oh, God, that's why when I tell people, God don't deal with excuses. I'm not talking only from scripture, but also I'm talking about a walk that I walk. I'm talking about being homeless. I'm talking about didn't have no vehicle. God still hold me accountable to the call. He said, listen, I gave you strength in them legs for you to walk, and you need to walk. I gave you a blessing for you to ride. You know how many, he had to let me know one day. He said, son, you know how many people wish they could walk up and down that street. You know how many people wish that they was in good health, they could ride a bike. And you're going to come and bring these tears and these whininess to me, and where you in your good youth, you are in a strong individual. That's why I can't understand these quotes, all these excuses that you have. God, they talking about me. They stabbing in me in my back. Baby, you got to understand, I had to go to church. My God, stinking and musky, had to go in the bathroom. My God, put on deodorant, put on perfume. At the end of the day, I had to trust him. Trust just didn't start it because I'm a preacher. Trust didn't start it because, my God, Almighty God, God holding me accountable because people that I have to mentor and govern over. Trust started when I was in the wilderness. Trust started when I didn't have nothing. Trust in him. My God, it's something about folks, my God, when they get a little blessings, they black off the things of God. You didn't have a relationship with him in the first place, because no way would God bring you from nothing and brought you into something and you forget. Ah, Jesus, I can't help it. Oh, Jesus, Lord have mercy. There's no way walking, my God, back and forth to work. And you got many people got excuses. I can't find it. I don't have no ride. I didn't have no ride. Listen, it still didn't stop there. It still didn't stop there. Even when I become, my God, a man of a decent age, my God, and I met my wife, amen, God still hold me to the test. He still kept me. I've been in that test for a long time. Trust me, you all. I was there for a long time, all the way up to my mid-30s. My God, from 19 all the way up to my mid-30s. When I tell you I was in the wilderness, I was up in there all that time. So what you see right now, you seeing the aftermath. When I tell somebody, you need to get over that mountain, because what you get over it, when you see what God has for you, you're going to realize that it was all worth it. Baby, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, it didn't stop there. Because my wife, my God, didn't understand why I didn't want her to get out of bed. At that time, we just had one car, one vehicle. I would allow her to get out of bed and take me to work. Because if she only knew, and she was starting to learn me then, if she only knew where I came from, where I had to walk, to, my God, 20 and 30 miles, and I couldn't walk by 10 miles up the road just to go to work and support my family. How dare you, man, is going to go and talk about what you cannot do, and you cannot do this here. My God, if there's no limit with God, my God, you need to walk it or just shut your mouth up, because all you're doing is just feeding your own self with a bunch of nonsense. And I'm telling you, my God, I've never been here in Georgia. And in Georgia, in Florida, we got flat land. It's a lot of flat land. So when I came here in Georgia, amen, Georgia have a lot of hills and dips and uneven roads and uneven everything. So I still had to push. I wasn't out of the wilderness yet. Amen. I didn't arrive yet, even though I started seeing God move on my behalf. But I wasn't out to clear yet, but I still had to walk. I had to catch the train because we just had one vehicle. I had to catch, my God, the bus because we just had one vehicle. I had to walk different places, walk back and forth to work early in the morning. As soon as we get off and put in a full day, and I'm talking about body tired, everything tired, still had to walk. Didn't miss no one day. Didn't call in talking about I got the sniffles or I got a little headache, my body hurt. Because when I got here, God opened up the opportunity. How dare you all go to complaining of the opportunities that God don't open up in your life. And all you got to say, whoa, it's me. I just don't like them people. I can't do this here. I can't do that. Do you know that somebody is waiting on that same opportunity that God don't bless you with? And all you got to do is just go ahead and say all this kind of stuff here. Baby, I used to down the Georgia road, and I'm talking about my ankles used to swell. I used to walk till I couldn't even barely walk. My God, my father-in-law had to go and buy me some stuff that they put on horses, my God, at a feed store just to bring down that swelling, to bring down the ligaments that was in my ankles, amen. I was with my wife, and we go out. I could barely walk, and I could barely and do different things for walking up and down the hill. I didn't tell her, baby, baby, I couldn't do it no more. I got to lay up in this thing because you best believe as I kept trusting God. Do you know I never had a problem with my ankles anymore? Because when I walked down the road in pain and aching and all this kind of stuff here, I said, God, I trust you. In the name of Jesus, you gave it to me. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to walk in your step. And do you know, as I've been walking on that journey, my God, I didn't have to worry about these issues no more. I didn't have to worry about anything. God done provided. So when I tell somebody, baby, I understand you don't feel good, but get your butt up and keep moving. I understand you don't feel like it. You stay on assignment with God. You stay focused. I'm just not telling you from the Bible. I'm telling you what I experienced. I'm telling you where I was at. I'm telling you when he brought me out. I'm telling you what God could do. Y'all better hear me. So now we got so many vehicles to where we can't even drive all of them at one time because it ain't nothing but God did it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. God, I'm blessed for we can have restaurants and different things because I used to walk to work, get the job. I used to be faithful on that job, work hard. I didn't go there and make no excuses. I didn't go there and have attitudes. I stayed faithful, working with men. He brought me in promotions. I started running companies. I started developing in industries. I got in construction. He blessed me where I could be architect and do all this thing here. But then a market hit. Then just to show, I was high lifted up, had farms and horses and all this kind of stuff. And just to show, he blessed me. And just to show, everything got flipped up the upside down. I didn't know that God put me back in the wilderness. He put me back in the test to see, do I really trust him? To see, do I really love him? Or I just love what he gave me? Or I just love what I accomplished? Or do I feel like what I accomplished is something that I did? And all the other stuff, when I said God did it, all that other stuff was a bunch of talk. Babe, I lost everything. I went through a season where the economy don't shut down. A work market don't shut down. My God, I lost everything. I lost the house. I lost this here. Things began to fall apart. Things began to go left. I was in that season for about 2 years. Amen. Had to stay with other people. My God, had a beautiful home. Now I moved back with my grandmother. Had to stay. That's the same place where I started at, where I'm walking with the holes in my shoes and walking from different places. But God brought me back and kept me there for 2 years. My goodness, hallelujah. And within that 2 years, God had tested me. I didn't know he was testing me, but I still stayed true to the call. I still stayed faithful with him. So when people see me that I'm sold out with God, baby, I just didn't get sold out. I was sold out at the age of 20. I wasn't going in the clubs, dipping and skipping. I wasn't going cheating on God. I wasn't running around from woman and woman, post to post, corner to corner, place to place. I stayed in his presence. I stayed in prayer. So when you hear this man pray, this man is just not praying because the Spirit of God is on him. This man been praying from the age of 20. This man been praying when he didn't have nothing. This man been praying when he did have something. This man was praying then when he lost it all. And he still trusts God. And God brought me out. And God said, because you love me, and I can see you really sold out before me. You don't have to worry that you will go through a season like that again. He said, whoever your companion will be, and I got a companion for you, son, you won't have to worry that y'all going to lose anything. Everything you touch, it's going to turn to gold. But let me tell you something. I had to go through for years. I went through it for a decade. But I stayed on my knees. When I met my wife, I was staying with somebody else. And at about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, I've been in a shut-in. I was in fasting. I didn't have no sweet words to try to get something for her. All I had was a prayer in my belly. At times, I was just going to speak it in tongues. And I thank God she didn't think I was crazy. But when God, my God Almighty, when you are in him and you got a true relationship with him, no circumstances can defile you. No situation, my God, can form you. Nothing will separate you. I don't want to hear no excuses. Even to this day, when I hear excuses, it's begin to make my skin crawl. It's begin to make, because if you knew where I come from,
and what God that I know. God don't take excuses. He got something for everything that you got to say. I'm telling you, Satan. So the power. So the power of ministry, the power of ministry, it comes from your life to where you're just bringing a reference into the Bible, into the stories of the Bible, of somebody else's life. But your life, that in your life walk, is a living testimony. When I tell people, what did God tell you? I'm not talking something that what God told Moses, what God told Apostle Paul, what God told my God Almighty, Jacob, what God told these different individuals that we read in the Bible. But when I tell the individual what God told you, because it's what God said to you, thing that God had to tell me and told me in the midst of the wilderness, I had to trust him when it didn't look like it's going to unfold. It took years. I'm talking about over about 2 decades, my God, for things to begin to unveil. I still had to trust him. My God, I had to trust him when I had nothing to eat. I had to trust him. All I had was weenies. I had to trust him when I had to go into a garbage can. I had to trust him when I didn't have no clothes. And this went on for years after years after years. I still stayed my head to the altar. Ain't no way God could walk with you and you could walk away from him because of hardship that you're going through. Baby, can I tell you something? You didn't have a real relationship with God. You were still playing and still in your feelings. Because when a true relationship with God developed, it's no way I could just leave from this relationship. Because you didn't do anything to me. You kept me covered in a time of hardship. You kept me covered in a time of need. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. When I look back over my life, and I'm not talking about what Paul said. When I look back over my life, I'm not talking about what Jacob said. When I look back over my life, I'm not talking about what Joel said. When I look back over my life, I'm talking about what Apostle Temple said. When I look back over my life and see where you done brought me from, I just got to say thank you. I got to say thank you. I got to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been good. You've been good to me. My goodness, church. I got to get out of here. I got to go. But the true living testimony is you. You can read about somebody else's history. But what about your history? You can read about somebody else's story. But what about your story? God don't accept excuses. When I tell people that, I don't tell you that because I'm being harsh. I'm telling you that when I was in the wilderness for about 20 years, he didn't accept no excuses. He didn't accept no whining. He didn't accept no crying. He done told me many a times, get yourself up off this floor. Wipe your tears. And you look towards your heel, which come in your help. I'm your God. Your circumstances don't define you. When I say that, I'm telling you what God told me. But I define, you define your circumstances. Wake up, son, and wake up. In the midst, me in the wilderness, God allowed the demons. He allowed them to come snatch me out of bed, to come shake me on up, to come pull me as a young boy. He allowed them to do physical until I got the fight inside of me. So I was able to look them in the eyes and say, enough is enough. I just didn't become a demon chaser. I just didn't become a demon buster. God was already developing me, and he didn't took no pity. He put me in the rain when I didn't know how to fight. He allowed them to beat me up and rough me up in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of hardship. So when I look at the demon in his face, and when I look at the devil in his face,
My God Almighty, they better go to shaking. There ain't nothing inside of me going to shake it, because I understand that greater is in me than is in the world. Hallelujah.
So you got to understand, being molded and developed by God, it just don't start when you say I do to him. It starts right now. It's in right now. It hurts me to my heart where people, and that's all they're doing is putting on a front, that how much God they got inside of them. But when things hit the fan, you go back to your weakness. You don't go and pray. You go back to your love. Regardless if your love is weed or drink or drugs, regardless if your love is alcohol, the true, my God, revelation of who you are and what you love. When the stress begins to come too much, when the pressure of life begins to come too great, when things in your world begin to shake you left and right, where do you go to? Who do you run to? What do you go to soothe the problem? Do you run to God and begin to cry out before him? Do you run to God and tell him, take this problem? Or do you run to your weakness? Or do you run to your issues? Or do you run to what you found give you some fleshly soothing? Who do you run to in a time of pressure that'll let you know who do you really serve? It'll let you know where your heart is really at. So many people are so far from God. So many people are so far from the things of God, but yet they feel as though they're so close to him. Baby, let me tell you something. God don't sympathize with mess. He don't sympathize with your weakness. He don't sympathize with your issues. He don't sympathize with that. You better read your Bible, because it's nowhere through Genesis, through Malachi, when the dispensation of God was on the scene. He didn't sympathize with anybody. So don't come bring me this stuff that God's still working on me. No, baby, you still working on you. God is waiting on you to come out of you. And he ain't finna sympathize with your nonsense. Is either you gonna walk and hold your head up, or you gonna sit there and just drown in your misery? Is either you really or truly say you love God, or you just really just talking because you was just in your feelings? Hit the gravel, and when things begin to be tough, you begin to back up off of God. You begin to back up off your prayer life. You begin to back up off your words, and you begin to drown in your issues, drown into your problems. Then you expect for God when you don't shoot yourself off in your timing, but not God's timing. You want God to go and do this, and you got all these commandments and these directions from God. Then you don't see nothing manifest. Let me tell you something. It don't matter who you are. God want to manifest everything that you ask for in your life. But the problem is, who is your true love? Who do you really love? Who do you really call on? Who do you really yield to? I'm a living witness. As a young boy, at the age of between 19 and 20, that when I was really sold out after that last experience that I shared with the church, yesterday night, my God, when I was in the restaurant, after that, my God, after that time, I never looked back to the world. I was sold out. Even though I was in the wilderness, I was still sold out. Even though I was going through hardship, I was still sold out. Even though I was homeless, I had it, then it lost it all. I was still sold out. Don't you come and tell me about being sold out. Nobody can come and tell me about my God. Nobody can tell me what it can and cannot do. Nobody can tell me what he'll put up with and what he ain't going to put up with. You looking and you talking to a living testimony that sold out before the Lord, thy God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel him. I got to go. Every time I go to talking about this, it's just something does something to me. Because at the end of the day, that's where I found my identity. I didn't find my identity on the church pulpit. I didn't find my identity trying to pray for people. I didn't find my identity hooping and hollering to see who can shout. I found my identity in the wilderness. I found my identity broken. I found my identity walking to church. I found my identity walking miles to work. I found my identity riding bikes, rolling up in a hoopty. I found my identity broken and going back and stay with my parents. I found my identity, my God, being rejected, being put down, walking all over. I found my identity in the midst of the wilderness. That's why you cannot come and tell me what I am and what I'm not, because I found my identity in the wilderness. I was prophesizing when I didn't have nothing, and I wasn't prophesizing over folks' life. I was prophesizing over my life, because there's no way I could prophesy in folks' life, and I'm broken, and I'm busted, and I'm disgusted, and I could tell you what God could do, but I haven't seen him do it for me yet. So the true calling, that's why when I tell you what God says, God, baby, you can bank on it. If it doesn't manifest, it's because something came in and stole it. You better call 911, the spiritual police, because somebody don't rob you. Because when God says it, that's what it is. My God, evangelist, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Bye. God bless all of you. I'm out. Peace. Oh, my goodness.
Praise the Lord. The only thing I'm going to sit and say, in case you all want to know what the title was this morning, I'm going to name it. I won't complain. I pray that each and every last one of you that heard the testimony, it even got even deeper today. See, that's what God does when you hold on. That's what happens when you are with when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And I'm just so thankful today to hear it, because I won't complain. I won't complain. So if anybody wants to know what today's topic was, is I won't complain. We would listen.
Evangelist,
listen. It's nothing else. Yes, sir.
I want to tell the people, many people look at me and they say, my God, he used you powerful as a young man. Well, he used me powerful as a young man because he could trust me. He could trust me with his anointing. He could trust me with different things that he's given me. I'm not saying this out of just saying that he could trust me. I'm saying this out of experience. That's why I tell anybody, giving up is one of the worst things that you could do with God. Walk away from your assignments, giving up. It takes a long time to get God to trust you. I had to go through all that valley as a young man, where others out there partying and doing their thing and having a good time. I was in the face of God. I remember when God revealed himself to me. And he done did it many a time. But I was standing in this back place. Didn't have clothes, didn't really have anything. And I'm sleeping on this, just a mattress. It was on a concrete floor. And God came into that room. At that time, I didn't know what it was. I called it smoke. I said it was just a smoke, a cloud. But it came in that room to where I understand now that it was the glory cloud. It was the Shekinah glory. And it began to reveal itself to me. Because I laid on that mattress and I just cried. I didn't cry of giving up. Cry of throwing in the towel. But I was just so full as a young man, I just cried. And God revealed himself to me in that room. And all he was telling me, trust me, I have your life planned for you.
So nobody can tell me what you don't have. You can't tell me how deep in problems you are in, how you drown in this situation. Some of you are so blessed to where you don't even realize you ain't blessed. You're talking for somebody didn't have nothing. And didn't, and God still didn't put up with my excuses. I wanted to get into my problems and get into my feelings. He didn't put up with it. He said, I will not accept your self-pity. That's why when the individuals look at me, Pastor is so strong, baby, this came from the wilderness. This came from a place, sleeping on dirty mattress. This came from a place, didn't have it. Oh, he could go to fine, nice places because he could trust me that I will never get beside myself if he continues to bless me. Because he knows that I know none of that stuff matter. If you take your spirit away from me, doesn't matter. Have it all. But don't you take your spirit. Don't you take your presence away from me. Because me and you, Lord, we've been through too much. We came through too many valleys. I came through too many wilderness with you. Regardless of who walk away in my life, let them walk away. But don't you walk away. Don't you take that spirit away from me. There's no way folks could tell me if you got a true relationship with God, you're able to walk away. You're able to put him down for 5 minutes. Somebody lying here. Because when you're sold out, nothing can separate you from the love of God. God revealed to me who he is in the wilderness. He showed me who he is in the wilderness. That's why I began to learn about the devil in the wilderness. That's how I know a lot of this stuff is a bunch of fairy tale foolishness. Because at the end of the day, when you're covered in God, the enemy knows that he cannot touch you. He knows that he cannot mess with you. He already know that. And the enemy already know if he do try to mess with you. It ain't God he worrying about. He worrying about you know who you are. So you can't tell me that God won't make a way. You can't tell me that he won't provide. You can't tell me because these things is not made up stories. These are actually experiences that truly happened to me. I thank God for what he did. He calls everybody, my family, my mother, everybody, to be away. I didn't have no one to turn to, no one to talk to. I didn't have no one. I was just in the wilderness by myself, doing what I got to do. Still staying focused with God. Some of you need experience because there's no way you had an encounter with God and you still got foolishness in your life. There's no way you had an encounter with God and you're still able to sin comfortably and it's nothing don't switch you. We shouldn't have to be over here preaching about sin and preaching about myth because when you have a true encounter and you got sold out and you got a true relationship with God, baby, you can sleep. God won't even let you sleep without getting the right. Because scripture declares, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He won't let you sleep without getting it right with him. There's no way you can continue with that foolishness and say, you got a good walk with God. Somebody lying in here. Because none of that stuff tarries in God. No error, no foolishness would not go in the presence of God without God dealing with it. There's no way you could say I've been in prayer and intercession and you come out cussing and lying and telling folks all, ripping people out, and you don't get in the presence of God. Somebody lied. You was in the presence with the demonic spirit. That's where you was at. You weren't in the presence of God because there's no way. His presence is a peace. I remember he took me and just showed me the outer parts of heaven a couple of times.
There's no way you could tap into heaven and tap into the kingdom and you don't have peace in your spirit. The whole place is a peace. When it says passes all understanding, it's a peace that you can't comprehend. It's a love that you cannot define. It's an experience that you cannot even utter it or even talk about. It's no way you could tap into heaven and still have bitterness in heart against people. It's no way you could tap into the kingdom of God and still have envy in your heart because folks lied on you, because folks talked about you. It's no way you could be in the presence of God and still have hurt in your heart. You still got issues in your heart. It's one thing when you have wisdom to deal with people, but it's another thing when you have things you covering in your heart. It's no way you tapping into the presence of God, because in the kingdom of God, none of that exists. That stuff comes off of you before you enter in the outer courts, before you even begin to transition from one dimension to the next dimension. That stuff, you don't even have no acknowledgement of it. And when you come back, my God Almighty, from the spirits are in from his courts and in the throne room of God, you coming back a whole new you. It's something about it done changed because you truly been into the place of God. It's no way folks could tell me. That's why some people get a little bit offended when I say there's no way you've been in his presence. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to judge what you're saying to me. I'm saying it because of experience. I've been there. I know that if you've been in his presence, it's a mirror comes on you. You begin to focus and look at your dirty garments and begin to see yourself. You too busy in the repentance of your life. God, forgive me. It's a reverence of presence that comes upon you. You can't think about nobody else. You can't think about another move in your life. You can't think about because this flesh is full of sin. This flesh and our thoughts of the flesh is full of stuff. And when we enter into something pureness, things that you didn't even discover by yourself, it begins to reveal about yourself. And you can do anything because you have such a fear of God. You have such a fear of the presence. You can do nothing but just say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. All this stuff folks talking about somebody being in it, you're a liar. And you're able to continue to do that, and there's no growth, and there's no development within yourself, and you still got the same foolishness, you're a liar. You was in a demonic realm in the second heavens where they imitate the kingdom of God. But they ain't the true presence of God. Because there's no way you could go in intercession prayer in front of his throne room and still come out the same. Somebody lying in here. There's no way God's going to allow you to come in one way and let you leave out the same way. Even worse, you was in the presence of demonic spirits. It wasn't a presence of God. So we have to understand things needs to be defined, who we are, what we are, and I walk with God. Because there's no way you can keep this worldly foolishness and continue to go into the throne room of God. God bless you. I have to go. I still got responsibilities for our natural life. I'm done. I'm all out. Hopefully God will allow me to take you all deeper and deeper into this thing. And hopefully it's just not something to bring entertainment to you. But hopefully this is something that will cause your life to paradigm and shift. That's why ADM, when they come to pastor, you really can't come to pastor with no excuses. You can't come to pastor because when I was in the wilderness, God didn't even take my excuses. He didn't even take my excuses as a young man. And it's no way when you say you got a relationship with God, he's going to take your excuses. It's no way. It's no way you tell me you could be in the presence of God and you've been and God ain't show, and you haven't seen nothing about yourself. God don't got time to try to take you into different paths and financial and where you having a problem to manage a job. You having a problem to manage an income to come into your life. You having a problem to manage $5, $10. But now God got this old revelation that he want to show you. He got all this stuff he want to show you. God going to deal with you to develop you of who you are. He can't take you in a promised land. He didn't bring the children in the promised land. It was so many generations couldn't make it into the promised land because of their nonsense. And you're going to tell me he's going to bring you into a place? You old prophets, y'all better stop lying to folks. They got to get it right with God before God take you into a place. You better come to yourself before God enter you into a realm. That's the true living God. Everything else is a lie. Demonic demons lie with you and put falsified feelings and make boots bump and say, yeah, that's God, that's God. And you full of hell. Why? Don't do that. He won't allow the rejection. When I was going through that and I was rejected, he didn't allow the rejection of my family. He didn't want to hear that. Because he said, I'm a mother to the motherless. I'm a father to the fatherless. I am your family, son. The heavens is your family. You got sisters and brothers that name angels. You got mentors that name the Holy Ghost. Don't come and tell me about what family done did and how they done did you wrong and they done left you out and they got me here. Don't you come and tell me that kind of stuff. And I am your family. Don't come and sit here and tell me about different things. I'm not telling y'all this, be telling you this. God don't accept none of that stuff. He don't accept stuff like that. God, they don't lie to me. Then I told you, this is what he told me. He said, then I told you in my word, you will be persecuted for my name's sake. I'm going to raise you. You don't have to defend no lie. He said, son, I'm going to raise you. God, they're talking about me. What? They talked about my son. So who is you? Keep yourself walking and go back and look him in the eye. And I dare you to have any attitudes and any different thing. That's why now I can love people. I can embrace them. So what? I could bring them in because God got on me at a very young age. He said, go back and look at him. And I dare you. To have any type of attitude and you begin to throw stones and everything else, if you don't show the love of me and you going to have problems. This is how God talked to me. He didn't play this radio. All this kind of stuff, folks. God don't play. God don't play. I be trying to tap into the Holy Ghost in Jesus before I tap into God. Because he don't play that nonsense with folks. Oh, I just talked to God, and God said this. You're lying. Oh, ain't God don't play. Ain't no way you're going to talk to God, and first of all, you want to bring that stuff to God, and you got hell in you, and God ain't snatched your color? No, you're lying. That's what you're doing. So we got to understand. Hallelujah. Evangelist, let me go. Let me go. Hallelujah. Saints.
Hallelujah.
God bless you all that who stayed on. God bless all of you. But I'm finna go. I'm gonna drop it and leave it right there. God bless you, Vanessa.
God bless you, Apostle. Thank you as always for just bringing the true, unadulterated word of God. We bless you. We bless you. We thank you. We thank you for being the man of God that you are. Saints, we will see you all back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. It's nothing else I can say. I'm just going to say this. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank God for revelation. I thank him. I thank him. I thank him. Everybody have a good day. Hallelujah. We'll see you back tomorrow.